song. All right, why don't you guys stand up, just welcome our pastors. Give him a good welcome. Alex, my wife and I, we call him Mayor Steve. Bless you, Steve.
Thank you. Why do you call me Mayor? I don't know. Okay, they just do. That's all right. Well, it's good to be here. I always like coming to Ajax. It sort of feels like home. I was in your city last Monday. I felt the Holy Spirit talk to me a while back about honoring some people who've been involved in my life. And when I was in Bible school, my dad was a pastor, and so I've always had my dad as my pastor. And anyone ever been a pastor's kid? You were a pastor's kid? Did you really listen to your dad's sermons, or did you sort of just... You don't have to answer. You zoned out a lot. That's exactly the way I was. Because my dad was my pastor, it's like, I'm not going to listen. I hear him every day, and it's like, okay. And it's not any better on a Sunday kind of thing. And so my first real pastor was when I went to Bible college in Scarborough. And at that time, I was living in London, Ontario, and the pastor's name was Jack Hanna. And Jack, last Sunday, was his last Sunday to be the senior pastor at Wesley Heights Baptist Church. But at that time, he was at Dorset Park Baptist Church at Kennedy and Ellesmere, that's right, in Scarborough. And when I finished Bible school, I went to Mississauga to help learn how to start churches. And I went to a church called City Center Baptist Church. And the pastor there was a gentleman by the name of James Rendell. James started Wesley Heights Baptist Church after starting City Center in Mississauga. And James is like mid-80s now. And Jack has just retired. I don't know what he would be, but probably around 65. And I felt the Holy Spirit to give them each $500 and just to write a nice card and to say thank you for all of the work that they've done in my life. And so I was just sort of meditating on that when Nikki was having us pray over the city and pray over just recognizing part of my heritage is right in this city. And for those of you who don't know me, I used to live in Pickering Beach at the bottom of Shoal Point Road. I mean, not the bottom, about five houses away from the lake. So if you go down to John's Place, just keep on going. If you hit the lake, come back a little bit, and that's where I used to live. And the house is still there, tiny little cottage house. When we moved in, it was not a winterized house. The poorest of the poor lived in Pickering Beach. And if you couldn't afford a house in Ajax, you went to Pickering Beach, where there were these old cottages that were meant for June, July, August living. And we used to live there, wear winter coats to bed and all that kind of stuff. Growing up, my dad pastored a church that had two families and about 100 kids. So it was really a mission. It was a Sunday school church, and the church grew and all that kind of stuff. So I like being in this area. Good. And today is Pentecost Sunday. Did you know that? So we're going to have a talk about the Holy Spirit today, if that's okay. I told Nikki and the band, the three wise men that come with her, good news and bad news. The bad news is that they're going to hear this sermon again because last month they were at the Scarborough campus where I was and they heard it then. The good news is they needed to hear it again. So anyways, Sandra and I, along with John and Carol, were at our third practice meeting in Hamilton last night. So we're working towards starting a new campus in Hamilton. We had just over 100 people, maybe 120 or so, that were there. The highlight of the night was when I was a greeter at the door as people were coming in, a Spanish lady came up to me that I've met before, and she said, I'm bringing a friend who doesn't know Jesus, and his doctor told him that he needs a miracle. And so she said, when he told me that, I said, well, that means you need to come to the church meeting tonight because they're going to pray for miracles. And she didn't know that we were going to do that. She was just saying to get him out. He was filling his carb with gas, and a car was leaving the parking or the gas station and clipped him and ran him over in a gas station. So the car wasn't going really fast, but fast enough to run him over. And he'd be a gentleman in his 50s and terrible back problems, and he came walking with a cane into the meeting. And so I was telling everybody, when your doctor says you need a miracle, that's a prophetic word over your life. Now, maybe the doctor didn't think that, but that's really what it was. And so right after worship, we had Laura Woodley. Do you know Laura Woodley? She's now married. Laura Osman was the guest worship leader. Amazing presence of God. And we went right into healing, and guess who gets healed? And this guy is not needing his cane. He's bending his knees. He's moving like that. It was like really, really good. And he's crying, and you know, he hardly speaks English. It's primarily Spanish that he speaks, so we had a translator. His friend that brought him there was translating, and we had probably a dozen really good healings that that took place last night in Hamilton. So that was a fun night. And John Arnott, our founding pastor, was at his best in terms of being a dad and just preaching and fatherly stuff. I like when John talks, even if he's reading a nursery rhyme or Aesop's Fables or something like that. It just sounds really good when John speaks. So, good. So, we're going to talk about today being led by the Holy Spirit. And is it going to come up? It is going to come up, John. In the name of Jesus, it's going to come up. If you click right, you did click. There we are. Perfect. So in the Bible, one of the privileges of those who are followers of Jesus is we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Yes? So if you're a follower of Jesus, you are not alone. You know that. And in the Bible, God, like the key people that are talked about in the Bible, they all had experiences where God was helping them to make decisions, where to go, what to do, what not to do, those kind of things. And in the New Testament, it's called being led by the Spirit. And so in honor of Pentecost Sunday, we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit interacts with us, and we're going to look at the life of Jesus, because the truth is that everything that Jesus did is an example for you and me. And I grew up thinking that Jesus was the Son of God, which he is, and that all the miracles and all the great teaching that Jesus had, any time that he knew the hearts of people and knew what people were thinking, was because he was Superman. He's living as God. And the Bible says, no, 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 no. Everything that Jesus did, he lived in the flesh as a human being, relying on the Holy Spirit. And Philippians says that he put aside his God qualities, even that he had, Superman powers, he put them over to the side. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, and he humbled himself and became like you and me. And the reason he did that was to be our example. That's why we're called Christians, followers, little Jesuses. No, we're not called little Jesuses, are we? We're called little Christs, little anointed ones. Jesus was the anointed one, full of the Holy Spirit, and we are little anointed ones. And John Arnott calls us anointlings. That's who we are. We're anointlings. So, how does God talk to us? Start talking to me. Sorry?
Hi.
No. How does God talk to us? Does he say hi? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just, okay, through his word, someone said, yep. How else? Dreams, daydreams, sorry, visions, yep, your pastor, other people, yep. I've got a whole bunch of different ways that he does that. And all of your senses God uses as well. God's able to, like sometimes you walk into a building and you just, in the spirit realm, just go, oh boy, there's some stuff in here. You had that kind of stuff? And your feeling, your smell sometimes, all different ways that God talks to us. I love how there's examples in the scripture of how this works, and yet there's some passages that are unclear. So if you remember the Apostle Paul, he's on a missionary journey. Acts chapter 16, it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. So they are wanting to go into Asia, north of the nation of Turkey, up into that area. They're wanting to go there, and somehow the Holy Spirit goes, uh-uh. They're kept from going into that area. And that area of Turkey is pretty big. I don't know if anyone been to Turkey? Been to Turkey? My son honeymooned there. I paid for his honeymoon, so I've sort of been there. I've sewed into Turkey. I'm actually, Sandra and I are going in November to Turkey. Do a ministry trip there. And whatever was happening, it doesn't say, but somehow the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not to go into that area. And so they're traveling around a little bit further south. And it says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, would not allow them. So what do you think this is talking about? Use your imagination. How did the Holy Spirit say, don't go here? Twice they tried to get across a border, and two times the Holy Ghost says, uh-uh. Inner an inner witness, okay. Lack of peace, okay, very good.
Uneasiness.
No favor. So what does no favor look like? It means their visa application got denied. It's that kind of stuff. Can the Holy Spirit cause the ferry from going from Constantinople, Istanbul? Remember, Istanbul's right at a peninsula. You go, that's where you cross. So what if the ferry that day is not working? And it's not working for a month. Like Air Canada's thinking of going on strike in a couple days. And people are thinking of, I'm going here, here, and here. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit's going, no, you're not. And we'll have a strike to prove it. So it doesn't say all the specifics, but it tells us not only did the Holy Spirit stop them from doing something, but they recognized that it was the Holy Spirit. That's an important one. A lot of times we like to blame everything that's negative on the enemy and all the good things on the Lord, but Paul's seeing what probably at the time he's thinking of negative things because he's wanting to go to these areas, but he's recognizing, okay, God's in this. I didn't get my visa. I got stopped at the border. They looked at my criminal record, killed people, murdered people. They don't want me in that country. Don't know. So it says this. During the night, so Paul's a little frustrated perhaps, I don't know, but during the night, Paul had a vision. That's one of the things we talked about. He had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help. And Paul, who had seen the vision, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. Look at this, concluding, figuring out that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Well, that was pretty easy, isn't it? All of a sudden in your dream, bang, there's a guy standing, hey, what about us over here? And they're going, oh, we can't go here, can't go here. And then a dream, come here. They're going, well, God must be doing that. And God was in it, wasn't he? So the challenge is that sometimes, like the scripture doesn't give us all the information. I think the Bible likes to be ambiguous in some things to sort of force us to push in just a little bit more and to depend on the Lord a little bit. And here's Paul, though, getting a real clear word. So maybe there was ambiguity, but then there's a clear word. He gets a vision, which means like this one was at night, so it's a dream that he's having. And here's this man. He knows he's Greek, Macedonian. I don't know whether he was the dress that he had or the language or his dialect or whatever, but they figure out this is where we're supposed to go, and they go. We read this passage in Luke quite often around Christmas time, and it's about a man named Simeon. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. Is that good? Be a godly person? Yep. And the Holy Spirit was on him. That's a little clue. Holy Spirit's with this guy. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, so somehow he's had a revelation, he's had an understanding, he's had an idea come to him that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit. So he's in Walmart shopping, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, "Get to the temple courts right now." Something happened where the Holy Spirit comes on him and sort of puts a thought in him, "Get over here," and he finds himself at the right place at the right time. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, which was his circumcision and his naming. Simeon took him in his arms and praising God sang, and he gives a prophetic word. So here's a guy, he's had a thought from the Holy Spirit, at some point before you die, you're going to see the Messiah. And maybe the thought was, you're going to see him as a baby. Maybe it was, you're going to see him as an adult. I don't know. But a thought is there, before you die, you're going to see the Messiah. And then one day, all of a sudden, he just, you know what, I think I'm going to go to the temple today. And he heads to the temple. And while he's there, he sees this couple coming, probably like couples every single day, coming into the temple. Every baby in that area would be brought there for a dedication, just like we have dedications in our meetings. We bless babies. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, that's it, right there. That little eight-day-old baby. And he goes up and he has this prophetic word, and Mary and Joseph are going, oh my goodness. And you remember right on the heels of that, there was an 83-year-old lady, Anna, comes up as well, and she'd been a widow for something like 50 years. And she comes up, she finds herself at the right place at the right time to bless the baby as well. Can you imagine what that was like for Mary and Joseph? You're out-of-towners. You're in town basically for a census. I'm glad that they didn't, for the Canadian census that we just did, that you didn't have to go to where you were born. It's like, oh my God, well, I was born in Toronto, so that wasn't too far. I live in Mississauga now. But for some people, that would be a little awkward, because how many of you were not born in the province of Ontario? Hands up. Okay, all of you have to go home just to sign a piece of paper, and then you can come back. That would be a little awkward. So there are three primary ways that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. And he talks about them repeatedly. And so we're going to look at the passages in the Gospel of John. And if you remember the Gospel of John, it's very unique unique book. It was probably written about 40 years after Mark, Matthew, and Luke were written. Mark was written first, then Matthew, then Luke. Each one is a little bit deeper because they probably read each other's copies. Mark is very much about action. It's written for the Roman population. Matthew is written for the Jewish population. Luke is very much a historical, chronological look. And so Luke is the most chronologically accurate book. Matthew's all over the place. He's got things here where they should be back here, and he just isn't trying to be on time. He's topical when he's writing his stories. John has 90% of what's in John's gospel is not in the other gospels. So he's filling in the blanks. And he says that he wrote his book to help people believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And because he's a very prophetic man, he has seven sermons. There are seven miracles and healings. There are seven times when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way. Things like that. And there are seven times when Jesus says, I can do nothing by myself. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I can't do anything. So it's all about sevens in the Gospel of John. So we're going to look at some of those things. So the first thing that comes up, John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do what? Nothing by himself. Meaning, even though I'm God, I'm not using any God powers. I'm not using any divine miracle powers for anything that's going on in my life. I'm totally reliant on the Holy Spirit. Well, that's like you and me, isn't it? Can any of you heal anybody by your own power? No. That's the way Jesus was. He says this, the Son can only do what he sees his Father doing. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the spiritual eyes, aren't we? Dreams, visions, seeing words and things like that. The founder of the Vineyard Christian Fellowship denomination, of which our church began, we started out as a Vineyard church, for those of you who don't know. The founder of the Vineyard Church is a gentleman by the name of John Wimber, and he since has gone to be with the Lord. About maybe 5-6 years ago, he passed away. Brilliant man, very skilled at giving leadership to large groups. And he tells the story in his book on power evangelism that he was on a jumbo 747 airplane, and I have never been in the bubble of a 747, but in many of them, that's where the first class passengers are. And there's a little bar in that area. It's sort of like the Airbus 8380s, that the second level is really fancy. I've not been in that level yet. I've been in the lower level with the, you know, everyone else, but I've not yet been in the bubble, not been upstairs. But John Wimber one day is flying in first class, and he's sitting on an aisle. So he's sitting here, and he looks across the aisle and sort of does a double look, because he sees a name of a lady lady's name on the gentleman's forehead. Now, there's a lady right beside him. And so he doesn't know if this lady's name is that lady. And they've got wedding rings on. So he whispers, he gets the guy's attention, and he goes, "Tell me about Betty." And the guy goes, "Shh, come here." And they walk to the bar. "What do you know about Betty? Is Betty your wife?" "No." "Who's Betty? How do you know about Betty?" And he's going, "Well, this is going to sound weird, but I saw the word Betty on your forehead. Betty's my mistress." And John Wimber leads the guy to Jesus in the bubble of the 747 because he saw a word. That's pretty cool. That's what Jesus is saying. My Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit, would show me stuff. And that's how I did things. In fact, this passage is very, very interesting. If you go to John chapter 5, verse 1, it's Jesus in Jerusalem, and he is going by an area where there are seven pools. And these are one of the pools has sick people around, like seriously sick, lame, blind, deaf, that kind of stuff. And the tradition was that every so often, an angel would come and stir the water. Remember that story? And Jesus goes in, and the Bible says when he went in, he looked around, he saw a man, and he asked about him, found out his story, went to the man and said, "Would you like to get your healing?" And the man says, "Yes." And the reason probably Jesus asked him about his healing is he's not close to the edge of the pool, and he's paralyzed. And so if you're paralyzed, you should be right by the edge of the pool, maybe even sitting on the edge with your feet in so that when the angels start doing stuff, because you can't walk, you just have to plop in, right? But he's not there. He's at the side. And so Jesus has a legitimate question, "Are you wanting to get well?" And the guy says, "Yes, I just need help getting in." So Jesus heals the guy, doesn't he? Jesus then tells the man, "Pick up your mat and go home." And the guy does it. The only problem is he's not keeping track of his days, and it's a Sabbath. It's a Saturday afternoon. And the Jewish laws, not Bible laws, but the man-made Jewish laws, are that on the Sabbath you cannot work, and so carrying a mat is work. And he's stopped by the temple police. And they say, hey, what are you doing here? You're working, can't be doing that. And he goes, well, the man who healed me told me to do this. Well, who was that? And the Bible says that he didn't get a clear look at who Jesus was. And he goes, I don't know. And the police are pretty smart, and they figure out Jesus is just around the corner, and they go, "It may be Jesus, let's go check." They go over to Jesus, and sure enough, it's Jesus. And they say to Jesus, "There are six really good days to do miracles. How come you're always doing them on a Saturday, on the Sabbath day?" Remember that? That was their question. And do you know what Jesus' answer was? This verse. "Oh, well, I only did what my Father showed me. And if he's showing it to me, I'm doing it." That's an interesting answer, isn't it? And there's a couple different possibilities. I was trying to think, what would this look like? And it was like, did Jesus have a dream a week ahead, 2 weeks ahead, the night before, of seeing a man in that area, in that pool area, saw his clothes, saw him sitting there, and he's thinking, you know, the next time I'm in that part of Jerusalem, I'm going to poke my head in and just see what's going on, see if I can see that guy. Or maybe as he was walking in that area right that day, all of a sudden a flash, a picture, this man. Because the Bible, when you read this story, it's very interesting as you do a little digging. It says that Jesus went in and he looked around. He's purposely looking for somebody. And when he finds him, he only went to one man, even though everybody was needing a miracle. Why did he only go to one guy? Probably only was showing one guy. So some of you are wired to see in the spirit. You get dreams, very vivid dreams. I get them every so often and only remember them every so often. This morning I did wake up with a dream, and it was like interesting because I didn't tell my wife this, so please don't tell my wife this because she may change plans. But we were in Turkey, and I've never been there, but I'm going in November. And we were in Turkey, and Sandra lost her passport, and it was tense. the politics were a little tense, so don't tell Sandra that because she won't want to go and she won't want me to go. And so I need to just pray into this. So I told my wife it was in a country where there's a little bit of unrest, is what I said. So I did tell the truth, I just didn't say all the truth. So I'm just giving my confession to you right now. Anyway, she lost her passport, and now we couldn't get out of the nation. And so now Steve Long is doing my James Bond kind of stuff, because a lot of my dreams are about me being a superhero like James Bond. I'm like Jason Bourne kind of. I love those kind of novels, and so in my dreams, I'm the Superman. I'm the good guy. And anyways, I've got all this stuff worked. We cut through the airport fence. We've got an airplane waiting. And anyways, and just before we... Do you not get dreams like this where you're the hero? just before we're about to do all those kind of things, Sandra finds her passport. And it's like, oh, rats. I was looking forward to an adventure. So I don't know what the Holy Spirit's saying. So any of you figure out what that dream's about. But it was like, I was getting ready for a good adventure. So maybe that was all what it was about, was just I'm going to have fun. Sandra's going to be worried, which is normal. I'm going to have fun. Anyways, let's keep going. Second most common thing that Jesus said is also in John, because the temple police really go at him. And some of the religious leaders come and they just really pound away at Jesus for talking like he's talking about my father and things like that. And the second thing that Jesus said, which is repeated a couple times, by myself I can do nothing. Do you see the theme there again? Seven times he has that little statement. I only judge as I hear, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. And so it would appear that one of the ways that Jesus knew what to do, what his Father's will was, how to be led by the Spirit, was he would hear voices. So those of you who hear voices, you're not crazy. God communicated like this to Jesus and gives thoughts to people. Did I tell you the first time I heard God talk out loud about the baby, John Friel? You were there the last time I told the story. You're I didn't hear it. Stop me if you've heard this story. I do not know the Holy Spirit yet. Well, I do, but I don't. I don't know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So this is 1993, and I'm working in a Baptist church with a couple named John and Ann Friel. They're a little bit older than I am, a couple years older than I am. We've been really good friends, and they are unable to have a child. They're getting close to 40, haven't had any children, and the doctors all along keep saying that we don't know what's the problem, but it's just not working. They've been to fertility clinics to have in vitro kind of stuff, and it just isn't working. And as Anne's getting older, she was probably about 35 at this point, John's about 40, they're getting a little antsy, time's clicking on kind of thing. And John and I are at my brother's church. My brother used to pastor Runnymede Baptist Church in Toronto, and we're there for a prophetic school. And I know nothing about the prophetic. I don't even believe in the prophetic. But my sister-in-law, Richard's wife, Terry, has said, I'm prophetic, and I need to go there. And it's like, well, all right, I think you just wanted registration dollars and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But anyways, I'm there. In the afternoon session, right after worship, by the way, it was David Roos and his wife, Anita, that were leading. So some of you know David Roos has written some great songs. So David and his wife are leading it, and right after worship, David introduces one of the men that's there. He's an African, and he's getting ready to start a church in Toronto, and they say, if you have any words for him, come on up and give them. And so a few people got out of their seats, came up to the front, and are praying for this man, and in the middle of that, I hear an audible voice. Or at least I thought it was an audible voice. It sounded to me like everyone heard it. But as I looked around, no, they didn't. Because the word was, tell John, who's sitting beside me, that they're going to have a baby by this time next year. And so I hear this, and I'm looking at John, and John's acting like as if nothing happened. No one else is acting as if anything happened. And this is new. This has never happened. I went to the back to my sister-in-law, and we've already had the talk, no babies, no marriages, none of those kind of directional words about personal life. So that word's gone out already. And so I'd go back to Terry and said, Terry, I'm a little confused. I think I just heard God out loud say, John and Ann are going to have a baby by this time next year. She goes, oh, you can't say that. You can't say that. Because she knows the rules, and she also knows John and Ann. They're friends as well. And they know the pain that she's had of going to the fertility clinic over and over and no baby, no baby. You can't say that. And I go, good. And she goes, no, well, you have to. Like, if you heard an out loud word, you have to. And it's like, oh, but I wasn't sure. So I decided to do nothing. I decided to go home and tell Sandra. I tell Sandra, and she says, well, you can't say that. And I'm going, okay, that's what I think. She goes, no, you have to say it. So it was like, so that was Saturday. Sunday comes, and Sunday we're in a rented facility like this, and so we're packing up afterwards. I waited to the end of the meeting, so all the coffee pots are down, all the kids' stuff's packed away, and we didn't have on-site storage like you folks did. We had to put it in trailers and in minivans and all that kind of stuff, and so our minivan is full of Tyco toys and, you know, nursery stuff, all that kind of stuff. So at the end of the meeting, I go up to John and Ann, and I give 5 minutes of disclaimer. I may be wrong, this has never happened to me, and I'm sorry if this hurts you. And I just went, finally John says, what is it? And I said, yesterday when we were in that prophetic meeting, I felt the Lord speak to me out loud, say, this time next year you're going to have a baby. Anne cries. And I'm going, oh, I should not have said anything. John says to me, when yesterday? Well, it was like they started the session at 2. It was, remember when they were praying for the African man? And he goes, so that would be about 2:45, wasn't it? And I go, yeah, I think so. And he says, Ann got a phone call 2:45 from our doctor. We're pregnant. And in my spirit, I'm going, yes, I knew it. But it was like, I've only heard an out loud voice twice, and the other one was just like 3 months ago. But I know that people hear, even if it's not an audible, it sounds like a voice inside your head, doesn't it? And the confusing thing is it always sounds like you. And Jesus was like that. That's one of the ways that God spoke to Jesus. Number three, Jesus did things that he knew. And so basically this is where his heart knew something. Not his head, but his heart knew something. His spirit knew something. So Jesus says this, I can do what? Nothing. It's 7 times. I can do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. So somehow Jesus knew what his Father's will was, and he was able to take the feelings that he had, the just that he knew, but he didn't know why. I do not like my wife for this very reason, is that Sandra knows things that she doesn't know. So we're planning something and she goes, no, that's not a good idea. And it's like, well, why isn't it a good idea? I don't know. Well, like, I need to have some facts. Well, I don't have any facts. We're just not supposed to do that. Well, like, why aren't we supposed to do it? I don't know. We're just not supposed to do it. Well, how do you argue? How do you argue as a husband and go, well, we need to? And I'm a very factual kind of person. I'm an analytical person. I'm very pragmatic. 2 and 2 is 4. 2 and 2 is never 5. But occasionally for Sandra, it apparently is. And so I've learned to trust Sandra that when she knows things without knowing why she knows them, she could be right. And Sandra, she could be, yes. Did you hear that little? She could be right. Sandra and I have a veto in each other's lives. So one of the things that, like, we just have some rules for living together. Married, by the way. Married living together. 29 years, most of them wonderful years. The Holy Spirit years have been really good. The before the Holy Spirit years was a little rough sometimes. So, for example, Sandra and I are each allowed to give away up to $500 without asking the other person. So that's our top. Anything over that, so when I felt to give $1,000 to the two mentors that I've had that both are at Wesley Heights Baptist Church, I went to Sandra and said, I'm thinking, I felt the Lord speak to me. And so she says, well, it was just a thought that came to me. Oh, okay, well, let's do it then. Let's wait until we get our income tax check back, though, because we don't have any cash on hand. So when our income tax, or when Sandra's income tax came, mine hasn't come yet. When hers came, it was good. We got more. She usually gets like $7. One year she had 23 cents. But this year she was like 4,000 something, which was really, really good. And so anyways, we were able to pay off some of our Visa bill and give $1,000 away, plus give our church tithe on that income. And so it was like, well, that's one of our rules. One of our other rules is that if either of us is going on a ministry trip, going to speak somewhere, the other person has the right to say no. So that's why I was telling you, don't tell Sandra about the turkey stuff. I know some of you are going to get on the phone right away. I'm glad Alex will be on the phone right away. So you, John, you got to. You're recording. She won't be listening today. So this is how Jesus was wired. So those of you that are like that, where you just know stuff, that's a God thing. That's not you being weird and crazy. That's you being wired in the Spirit. And a whole bunch of people, when they hear Christians talk like this, they think we're weird. They think we're crazy. No, we're not. Well, we sort of are. We're different. We're different, aren't we? We're being led by the Holy Spirit. Yes? So here's what we're going to do. We are going to pray into these three areas, and we're going to bless those of you that function in these three different categories. And so if you're primarily hear God, we're going to pray for your ears. If you primarily see God, we'll pray for your eyes. And if you primarily, you just know, but you don't know why you know, we're going to, I was 30 seconds, I said this, that's when you're supposed to start ministry. I was 30 seconds early. Isn't that amazing? Very, very good. Well, it's maybe not amazing, just, I also was checking on the clock, and I set it for 10 too, so. So let's have all of you that see. You have dreams, you have visions, you have daydreams, and when God just shows you pictures, words, that kind of stuff, that's one of the ways that you're led by the Spirit. You can stand up for more than one. Like if you're flowing in all three, great. But let's have the seers stand up first of all. Rightio. Okay, those of you seated, can I get you to go to one person that's standing and just match up? Those of you standing, put your hand up. And those of you seated, go to one person that's close to you. And when someone comes to you, put your hand down. That way we'll get everyone matched up. So if you're seated, even if you're a newcomer, can I get you to stand up and just go and find one person? Good. Need a couple more of you to jump up and move around. If you can reach two people at the same time, why don't you do that? Because there's probably more people standing than there are seated. So, alrighty. So we can't get everyone at once. So, pray for each other. There you go. Yeah. So just, if no one's with you, put your hands on your own eyes. Don't poke your eyes. So just put your hands over top of someone's eyes that's there then. Father, we thank you that when we see stuff, this is just like Jesus. We are being led by the Spirit. We're not crazy. We're not stupid. We are actually in step with the Holy Spirit. And I bless you to not just have dreams, but I bless you to have HD, high definition dreams. Lots of clarity. Lots of understanding, lots of knowing exactly what the Father's trying to communicate to you. Lots of you just grasping what the Father's trying to say. And some of you have dreams that are like they're sagas, they're long stories, and they're all these different pictures, and sometimes it's really hard to put it together. What was the Lord saying? And Father, I'm asking that when they wake up, that they would know the word of the Lord. They would know what the Father's saying, getting ready for those kind of pictures. Father, I thank you that you give us dreams. You give us daydreams. You just give pictures and things like that. My wife Sandra occasionally sees words over people on people's foreheads when she goes to pray for them, when she's standing on the line and praying for people on the line, and she just sees what the issue is. So she's able to pray for a rejection spirit to come off or whatever the different things are. So Father, thank you that you're with us. And the fact that we have these dreams tells us that we are being led by the Spirit. So bless these men and women in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And all of you who hear, you hear voices. Can I get you to stand up? God talks to you, and it sounds like a voice. Okay? Can I get you folks to hand? It doesn't have to be an audible voice, but you just know that it's your ear that's the primary tool that the Lord speaks. Hands up, folks. Those of you seated, find someone with their hands up and go and put your hand on their ear. When someone comes, you can put your hand down. Move around, church. If you came to this church and didn't realize that this is a sporting activity at our church where we move, well, we are. Everyone likes to get involved. If no one's with you, just put your hand on your own ear. So, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that these people are hearing voices in the best sense of that word. Thank you that you are communicating truth, life. And friends, just like we're praying for HD vision, we bless Dolby sound for you guys. Like really clear. You're able to get every nuance that God speaks. Do you remember Elijah when he's running from God and he's depressed and there's the fireworks show, like there's the volcano, is it fire, wind, and what was the other one? Was there a volcano or, I can't remember what the, no, it wasn't the volcano, rain. It was just, or it was an earthquake, that's what it was. Fire and wind. And remember how God spoke to Elijah? A little whisper. A little whisper. And I bless your ears when it's a little whisper. And that seems to imply that we have to be searching for God. We have to be ready for when God speaks. And that sometimes there's, like, I'm in this category, and sometimes doubt can come very quickly, and it's like, did I really hear that? And if that's you, we just say, actually, you have been hearing. And when you begin to ponder, that's a good thing. Do you remember it talks about Mary, Jesus' mother, that she pondered all these things? She kept thinking through all these different things. She treasured the different words that were given to her. That's a good thing to just say, God, okay, I got a little bit of a picture here. What's that mean? I just heard this. What does that mean? Does that go with what you said 2 weeks ago? Some of you journal, and it's like your hearing is what you're writing down stuff, you're hearing from the Lord, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And so, Father, we just say, bless these men and women to hear for yourself, to hear for others, even to hear for strangers. Some of you get a thought to pray over someone, pray about someone. It's like, oh, I haven't thought about them for a long time. Why did you get that thought just come into your ear? It's because the Lord's wanting you to say a quick prayer right away. Maybe even phone them up and say, what's going on? Thank you, Father. Okay, you may be seated. Third category, your heart knows. You just know that you know what's going on sometimes. You don't really know why, but you know that you know. Can I get you to stand up if that's you? You have good knowers. Okay, hands up, those of you. And those of you seated, if you don't mind moving around and finding someone who has their hand up, and when you found someone, put your hand down. When someone comes to you, you can put your hand down. We need some of you to go backwards. There's people close to the back, so guys, can I just get you to move around? Ladies, are you able just to go and find some folks behind you that have their hand up or go in front of you? So if no one's come to you, put your hand on your heart. This is one of those ones where your spirit can be wounded fairly easily. Because people like Steve Long, who likes facts, likes practical, comes along and talks you out of stuff and says, well, give me a reason. And just on behalf of all the people who've pushed you and talked you out of something that you knew because they wanted a reason and you haven't had a reason, would you forgive all of us that are demanding a quick answer? And you've been maybe shut down a little bit because of that. And so, ladies, if your father, if your husband, your boss, male boss has demanded reasons for when you've known stuff. We just bless you to forgive them right now. Men, the same sort of thing. If your wife sort of says, no, we're not doing that, and you ask why, and she says, well, I don't know why, but we're just not doing that. Men, I want you just to, and ladies that are here, if you recognize that you've stepped on people because they're just wired different than you are, just forgive those persons and ask for forgiveness yourself. And we lift off all that kind of putting down, that weight that has inadvertently quenched you being able to be led by the Spirit. And just as a pastor, I'm a dad, I'm a grandpa. As a person, I'm getting up in the mid-50s now, and just as an older person, just to say bless you. And may your heart know, may your heart be soft and tender to receive every word of the Lord. And we bless you that your heart just knows that you know that you know that God is with you. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to them more often, more frequently, with greater insight. Here's the good news, is that when God speaks to you, it could be life-changing. Could be life-changing. Bless these people. I want to tell you one story, so you may be seated. I did this talk at the airport campus about 3 weeks ago. Generally, what Steve Long does when it's a tour around to different churches, and I go to a different campus each month, is I generally have one talk that I do at all the campuses so everyone gets to hear the same talk kind of thing. So Nikki, when I was in Newmarket, did I do this talk there when you were there? Nikki's one of our traveling bands, and so I get to see her on a regular basis. She's at Scarborough and here and Mississauga and Brampton and Newmarket and a whole bunch of different places. So here's what I had a couple that are cell leaders at the airport campus tell this story. Garth and Mary Justly are their names. Some of you may know them. Garth would be about 62 years of age, and God has blessed this gentleman. He was the youngest guy ever in New York to be vice president at a bank. It may have been passed, but he was a vice president with Citibank when he was 29 years of age. Wasn't a follower of Jesus at that time, and became a follower of Jesus in his 40s. He came to Canada to be the president of Citibank Canada, and then switched over to Bank of Montreal. And he was one of these guys that would be getting a Christmas bonus in the millions. And just a very wealthy, talented gentleman. And when he became a follower of Jesus at an Anglican church in Montreal, and so they get involved. When they came back to Toronto, he quit the Bank of Montreal to start his own business and lost everything. He had a bankruptcy and just some things didn't go well, lost everything. Started over again, and now he is the CEO and president of a investment firm that does venture capital stuff, about $6 billion in assets that they have. So he's a smart guy. He loves, they've been going to the airport church probably for about 12 years now. They love going on missions trips with us. And they were, do you remember the one we did 3 years ago where there was like 140 people went to India? And we had 10 different cities in India that we were going to all at the same time. They were scheduled to be on one of those trips. And they were one of the first people to sign up to go. And they'd been to India before and really enjoyed it. And so they signed up. About 3 months out, they found out that the one of his partners in his company, their daughter was getting married in England during that very same week on a Friday, I think it was. And they're thinking, oh dear, that cuts into the mission week because the school we're doing is Monday to Friday. And if the wedding's Friday, that means we're going to have to leave Mumbai on the Thursday to get there. So they thought, okay, well, if we're going to do that, how about we go a week early and have a vacation? And they booked their flights, booked their hotel at the most extravagant hotel in Mumbai, which is the Taj Mahal. Beautiful old 1800s British hotel. So they're booked in. And then about a month before the missions trip, they're just praying one day, and Mary, says to her husband as they're praying, we're not supposed to go to India. And he goes, lady, shut up. Well, I don't think he said that, but that's sort of what he was, that's sort of how it, you know, it's like, no, you're wrong. We're going. We're already signed up. And to just to prove his wife wrong, he prayed about it. And lo and behold, the Holy Spirit tells him, don't go. And now they're both sort of, no, like everybody's going. This will be fun. We're gonna have a wonderful time. But because they both heard from the Holy Spirit, they canceled. They would have been at the Taj Palace, the Taj Hotel, the week of the Mumbai terrorist stuff. They were to be in that hotel those very days. So what was the Lord doing? Saving their lives, right? Or potentially saving their lives. Not everybody in the hotel died. And it was just like they were grumbling and complaining the whole time that everyone else is getting ready to fly off until they watch CNN one day. And they're going, oh my goodness. And he phones his wife, Mary, are you watching TV? She says, yes. We could be in heaven. So this kind of stuff is real. Like this is a big deal. And if Jesus lived this way, we're supposed to live this way as well. Stand up, grab someone's hand. Because it's Pentecost Sunday, we need to get full of the Holy Spirit again. Is that all right? So just grab someone's hand close to you. Father, thank you that 50 days after Easter, as the church met in Jerusalem, they were a little bit of a ragtag kind of group. Their Bible says that some of them were afraid of their lives, and yet they were being obedient. Jesus told them to wait, and so they're waiting in Jerusalem, they're praying. There was 500 that heard that word to wait, and that particular day in Acts chapter 2, 120 of those people were together praying, and all of a sudden you showed up. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, filled every single person to a higher level. And Father, we're asking that you would come on that anniversary of that ancient day. Would you come and pour out your Holy Spirit again? Fill us right now. Now just let your heart receive more of the Holy Spirit right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. How many people in this room are 60 or over? Hands up. If you're 60 or over, can I get you to just walk around and bless the young ones to be full of the Holy Spirit? Can I get you to do that? Those of you that are 60 or over, walk around and just put your hand on people's shoulders. Like spend 5 seconds with each person and then just move. Holy Spirit, come. More for every one of us. Daddy, we need to be filled every day. That's why the Bible says, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we welcome you, Jesus. Now, I want those of you that are receiving ministry, just like try to check your brain out just for a second. Don't try to figure out what's going on. Let your spirit take over. Your spirit is supposed to be ruling you, not your brain. Come, Holy Spirit. Choo. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us right now. More, Daddy. More. Shoo. Come, Holy Spirit. Increase. Increase, Father. Come. The goodness of God finds its way to us. His Holy Spirit anoints us. God's power, God's authority with you. And you remember the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 that the believers were first called Christians in Antioch. And again, I talked about this at the beginning. It doesn't mean they're first called followers of Jesus, because they already were followers of Jesus. But they came up with a new name. the people outside of that church saw these men and women as anointed people. And the word Christian means little Christ. Little Christ. Jesus is the anointed one. And we're like him. The Holy Spirit is with us. And the Holy Spirit's able to give you inside information. He's able to help you make decisions, help you make choices. He's able to warn you. He's able to protect you. He's able to minister through you to other people. So Holy Spirit, come. Fill us again, Daddy. We welcome you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm trying to learn to let the Holy Spirit be my best friend. Daddy, would that be true for us? May this week be a good week to go a little bit deeper with you. We welcome you, Father. Pastor John, any last words?
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve. Alexandra and I, we've been praying. We say, God, you send us here for purpose. And we felt our mission, our work is to equip the saint for the work of ministry. And we've been crying out for the Lord. We say, God, we are the workers. We are the workers. Give us workers for the kingdom. And this morning, I feel the same thing. I feel the Lord is saying, not trying to boast, but I just feel the Lord saying, you've been good and faithful. I said, God, thank you so much for speaking that to me. I need it. But I felt also the Lord said, I want you to pray for workers. So this morning I'm going to ask you today, if you feel God's calling you to be a worker in the field, look at the harvest. You probably don't see it, but I feel the Lord said, he will open your eyes to see the harvest is ready. I'm going to ask you to this morning, if that's you, just to come in the front as a step of faith. God, I want to fulfill that calling in my life. I'm called to be a worker. I'm called to be a co-worker with Christ Jesus. And you put me in this place. You put me in this church so I can do what you call me to do, God. I want to be equipped. I want to be trained. I want to learn. I want to receive so that I can go out and I can do what Jesus called me to do. The things that he did, I will do more, even bigger and greater. But it's not that we want to be most, but we want to see the kingdom of God keep growing and growing. Thank you, Father. Father, I lift up all this men and women before you, God. And Father, you know that we cannot repay anything that we ask them to do for you, God. But their reward is going to be with you. I want you to know, people, that there's a cost to serve the Lord. I told you many times it's going to cost you to serve him. And those of you who come forward, I want to pray that you carry his cross and not your cross. Father, I lift up all these men and women, old and young. And in them, Father, we see the kingdom of God. In them, Father, we see that you want to invest your glory. In them, Father, you invest your word. You invest revelation knowledge. You invest stories. Stories of the Bible and stories of their life. And then, Father, you have revealed who they are in Christ Jesus. And Father, you say that your burden is light. And each one, Father, who come forward, Father, knowing that they carry a burden whose light for you, God. We are not heavy. And you will give them abilities, wisdom, and knowledge, and strength, and power, authority. And Father, I pray the same prayer that Jesus, when he sent out the 12 disciples, and when they go out, two by two, and when they return, they say, Jesus, we saw people get healed. We saw demonic spirit being set free. We see even they obey to our command. They obey to our word. And they were rejoicing about this healing. And Jesus said to them, rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Because I saw Satan fall like lightning. And I learned to understand that when Jesus prayed for healing, when he prayed for the sick, people getting healed, but when he sent out the disciple, there's a greater power, there's a greater authority, that he said the kingdom of enemies fell down like lightning. I'm going to commission you this morning to go two by two, to get the wisdom of God, to be led by the Spirit, like Ananias. And the Lord's Spirit said, go into this street, go into that home, go to this man, go to speak to him. This is his name. I command you to be an evangelist in this land. I command you to go to reach the lost in Jesus' name. I command your hand, your feet to be obedient with the voice of the Spirit of God. It's not just good to hear his voice and not obey. It's better to obey than sacrifice. We bless you with obedience. We bless you to return and give testimonies about healings that Jesus commands you to fulfill. I bless you to see the sick healed. I bless you to see the eyes open. I bless you to see sickness and disease being cast out in Jesus' name. I bless you to raise the sick. I bless you to go into home, hospital, your workplace. I bless you to speak. I bless you to see in the Spirit. I bless you to be a worker in the kingdom. I bless you to release forgiveness to all those who's around you who have come against you and not hold anything against them. I bless you to hear and to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God in your life. I bless you with the commission of God said to love him with all your heart, all your strength, and all your might, and to love your neighbors as yourself. Father, I give you thanks for those who come up front to be workers in the field. We need those people to see the kingdom established in here, in this land. And Father, we say that Ajax will never be the same. If you can take 12 disciples, you can change the world. Father, today we are more than 12, and we can surely have faith to say we can change Toronto, we can change Ajax, we can change the street, we can see revival in our land. We can see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Father, as we've been standing and waiting like the apostle, Father, in the upper room, we ask for your presence to come and fill each one of us, God. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Give us gifts that we haven't received yet. Release more of your anointing in our lives. Release our feet, Father. Loose our feet, Father, to run with the gospel of Jesus. I bless you that the Holy Spirit has a shorter journey into your destiny. That you don't have to go for the longest distance, but the shortest distance to the point of your destiny in your life. As he lead you and guide you. Thank you, God. Let the anointing flow. I bless your dreams. I bless your voice to cry out to Him. I bless your prayers, your anointing to flow. I bless you to break down every walls of the enemy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, fill us, Father. Let us drink from your presence one more time. Drink from the Spirit of God here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we break every bondage, Father, the enemy trying to put upon us, Father. That's trying to stop us, Father, from fulfill what you have called us to do, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Just put your hand on the person next to you. Just anyone, just put, as long as you have someone's. Father, I just pray for the unity of the Spirit in this place. The bond of unity, Father. And Father, we say, we are not going to wait and wait and wait. We're going to stand up, Father. There's a word been coming lately, to stand. To stand and to stand. And some of you, they feel like the enemy is putting you down, but I feel the Lord says to stand up and to rise up. We bless you to stand up. This time is to stand up and to see Him. Thank you, Father. Wow, Shandai. Father, we break every spirit of jealousy. But we will bless each other, Father, to go higher. To do wonders, to be bigger. We will not look down. We will not be jealous of the gift of the Spirit or the gift of anointing in our life. But we will bless each other. We ask for unity of the bond of the Spirit, Father, in this place. All right, just pray for the person on your left or on the right. Just speak a blessing right now, Father. Yes. As you hear the Spirit of God speak to you, just release that word. More. More, God. Can I encourage you to do one thing? What are the things that's stopping you? I say, God, enough is enough. I'm not going to allow this. I'm not going to allow disobedience anymore in my life. I'm not going to stop, let anything to hold me back. I want to go forward. I want to break loose. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we don't want to walk with Christ. We want Christ to walk in us. It's a hope of glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right. I'm going to count to three. Can we do that? And we're going to give a shout of praise. All right? I'm going to do this. I just felt like this since the worship. We're going to open the doors. We want the neighborhood to hear us. Wait, wait. Okay. You can surprise the kids. That's a good thing. The kids, hey, we're having more fun here. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Take a breath. Say, God, Spirit, fill my breath with the anointing right now, Father. Let my voice be heard in this lane. All right. One, two, three. All right. Good. It's good to shout in this land. Bless you guys. All right. Give Pastor Steve a big hug.